All right, let's join up now with Luke Zimmerman. He is the editor of LandGrantHolyLand.com, which is SB Nation's home for Ohio State athletics. Luke, obviously a big win, 30-27 over Michigan over the weekend, and I really want to get into the playoff implications of that W right there. But first, I was surprised to see that Ohio State had won 11 out of those last 12 games. It's kind of a jarring statistic for a rivalry that has a lot of tradition, a lot of respect. It's, you know, more evenly balanced over time. But how did you feel about the field storming? Did that strike you as a little odd?
No, I mean, I think the fan base, just sort of the macro fan, assumes that win, besides the fact that it was number two versus number three, just the second time the two teams have both been ranked in the top three in the 113 editions of the game, I think that everyone assumes that win went ahead and clinched them a playoff berth. I don't want to say Pollyannish, because I think there's a lot of conventional wisdom that would suggest that they are fairly safe, but I'm a little bit more cautiously optimistic. I don't think it's a sure thing necessarily. I think it's probable, but, you know, things happen. Things, unexpected results happen in sports all the time. You know, when you have people involved and not computers, who knows, right? If the playoff be-all, end-all really is conference championships, which based on a two-year sample size, we tend to think it's important, but I guess we'll find out how important here about a week from today.
Yeah, I'm very fascinated by that as well, Luke, and I'm sure my listeners are probably tired of me quoting this, but, you know, all eight of the bids thus far have been conference champions, and seven of the eight have been conference championship game champions. So I've been saying pretty much all year that leaves the Big 12 in, well, and Notre Dame's very far away, but if Notre Dame were actually having a decent season, not being able to make that closing argument in front of the committee over the final week of the season, I think that matters. And at the same time, I look, and they're not going to move Ohio State out of second place, I would imagine, following a win over Michigan. So in the last poll of the season, are you going to surprisingly bump them back three places just because they're not a conference champion? That would be unusual for me to see that. And so I guess we have to weigh more or less a couple of different outcomes here, whether Ohio State is more likely to get in over a conference champion Penn State or Wisconsin, or whether two of them get in and that pushes out either a Clemson, a Washington, or a Colorado, right? I mean, that seems to be where we're at, where there's five legitimate contenders for four seats at the table. And if Washington and Clemson win, that leads the committee, I think, with a very difficult decision. I mean, do you think whoever wins between Wisconsin and Penn State, do you think that affects Ohio State that much?
Yeah, I mean, I think it at least creates some semantic arguing. If you have Penn State, who's playing a lot better than they were at the beginning of the season, and they have that head-to-head win over Ohio State, if they go ahead, and I think if they pull similar to what Ohio State did against Wisconsin 2 years ago, if they have all these style points, they win with a huge margin of victory, which I think personally is pretty improbable. They opened as 2.5-point underdogs. Having seen both teams play Ohio State on the road at both venues, I don't even think it's close personally. I think Wisconsin is considerably better than Penn State. I don't want to take anything away from Penn State to win against the Buckeyes. They certainly earned that, but Ohio State shot themselves in the foot repeatedly. The Penn State took advantage of every possible Buckeye mistake they could, and then their defense held on late. But for me, anyway, I watched both Wisconsin and Penn State play some this weekend. Wisconsin struggled against Minnesota in a rivalry game that they already clinched the Big Ten West division. Didn't really mean a lot. Penn State crushed a Michigan State team at home that Ohio State struggled with in the weather and Lansing and what seemed to be kind of Urban Meyer's kryptonite during his time at Ohio State. But, I think if Penn State wins, just because they have that head-to-head, it creates a lot of semantic arguing. Based, though, on what we've seen or what we've heard from the chair of the playoff committee, Kirby Hokut from Texas Tech, he seems to be referencing Ohio State and Penn State as being in different tiers. If Penn State beats Wisconsin, say, by 50 like Ohio State did, maybe that changes and that gap closes. Then you go to the tiebreaker and it's that head-to-head. Thing to forget, though, is Ohio State does have one loss. Penn State has two, and that has to matter, even if that loss is to Penn State. Penn State lost, you know, to a team that Ohio State beat, and they lost to them by 39 points. And then you have them losing to Pitt, who, while is, you know, no shame in what the Panthers bring to the table, they are an 8-4 football team. So, for me, I think Ohio State, if you're going to be, I guess, intellectually honest, they're one of the four best teams. Maybe they're the fourth best team because they don't have a conference championship. I think with the eye test against Michigan, you can probably knock them down a peg or two, but I agree with you. I mean, we saw TCU be a very highly placed seed going into this current week 2 years ago, and then all of a sudden fall from 2-5 pretty arbitrarily, despite a big win in their final game. you know, with Ohio State not playing, it'll be interesting to see how the committee, you know, if they do have some recency bias in terms of how they grade the Buckeyes.
We're joined now by Luke Zimmerman. He is the editor of LandGrantHolyLand.com, which is SB Nation's home for Ohio State. I'm Lewis Woodard. This is SB Nation Radio. When you look at the other games going on this weekend, the ACC championship game, the Pac-12 championship game, and forgive me, I'm already looking at the SEC as if it's decided already. I'm not even sure what the number is going to be in that game, but it has to be over 20, I would imagine. But with regard to Clemson and Washington, if they both win, do you think one of them has a shot to not get in? Like, which one do you think is in a worse position if Clemson and Washington both win?
Well, I think Clemson, you know, we're supposed to evaluate each season in a vacuum, but this Clemson Tigers team is so eerily similar to the one that a year ago gave Alabama everything they could handle in the national title game and won a playoff game. I think especially if Clemson handles Virginia Tech, you know, I'm not going to say comfortably, but, you know, 10, 14-point win, something like that, they're in. They have nothing to worry about. They also lost to Pitt, who apparently is a giant killer of sorts this season, but I think the Tigers are pretty safe. Where it gets dicey is though I like Washington, they've got a bunch of injuries. Their schedule strength is going to be the absolute worst of any of these one-loss teams. And I think when you start to get down into it, I don't want to, again, sound like some Ohio State bitter, you know, fan or journalist or whatever that is scorned by Penn State's win over the Buckeyes. But I think Penn State even compares favorably to Washington, despite the fact that, you know, Washington has one less loss because the schedules are so different. When you get into an Ohio State-Penn State argument, the Buckeyes have, you know, what, three wins over top 10 teams, and their resume is as strong as anyone, including Alabama's, except Alabama doesn't have a loss and, you know, certainly has really, really good players and has done it very impressively. But I think Ohio State has more, you know, caliber wins than anyone. Washington does not have that claim. And, you know, their one chance really, I guess, against the USC team that has been trending very upward, it has too many losses to be in contention for their own and won't have the chance to play Washington in a rematch. But, you know, Washington will only be able to impress the committee by beating Colorado, who gave Michigan a little bit of a game before their quarterback got hurt. I think it's been a really great story in college football this year, but probably isn't going to win hearts and minds. So I think if Washington was fully healthy, if they'd beaten USC, then they'd be, you know, surely they'd be in. But I think they have to have some concern. Also, you know, we hate to get into that East Coast, West Coast bias thing. They're just a team that a lot of people haven't seen because so many of their games are late. So I think that they'd be a worthy team to include. But if I had to compare Ohio State and Washington, and I'm saying which are the four best teams in the country, I'm going to take the Buckeyes. I think it gets a little dicier when you get into Penn State, Washington, but Penn State, especially if they win the Big Ten title, may have that edge as well.
Yeah, I think Washington's case is interesting because the committee sure likes the Pac-12 in terms of the total number of teams they're ranking in the top 25. But at the highest level, they don't like it as much as they like the Big Ten. And you look at Washington, the only Power 5 school they played out of conference was Rutgers, which might be the worst Power 5 school. And you look at Ohio State and they have the win over Oklahoma. So that, at least the Buckeyes, even though they're not winning a conference championship, they certainly challenged themselves and acquitted themselves better out of conference. So there's plenty to really dissect. And Ohio State getting in over TCU and Baylor is really the only tough decision the committee has had to make. And, you know, what, eight of the bids they've handed out so far, seven of them seem to have been pretty slam dunk. So this fourth bid that they hand out, who ends up getting screwed over, whether it's the second Big Ten team, whether it's Ohio State, whether it's the Pac-12 team. This is going to be an interesting year to see if we can find out from a policy perspective how the committee thinks and feels about certain things. But, you know, we have our ideas and our inclinations. And, Luke, I thought we did a decent job of putting that out there. But, you know, we're not sitting in the meeting room and we just have to sit back and wait, right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't even know what all the criteria that the committee uses is. We don't, you know, they don't publish their data. They have some kind of advanced metrics that they, I guess, pay some data service to produce for them. We don't know what those are. We don't even have clear written criteria. There was a PDF that I think was produced in 2014 that they still use as a guideline that has this language that Penn State fans continue to point to related to conference championships being an area of emphasis, but it's really more of like a suggestion. And it's also for tiebreakers. So what does that mean? Is it tiebreakers for the fourth spot? Is it tiebreakers for when teams have the same record? You know, it's, we don't know. It's all just semantic interpretation if you're not in that room. You know, ESPN has Heather Denich as like a, I guess, college football playoff beat writer. And even, you know, they have to keep some, I guess the curtain for the Wizard of Oz is up between her and the committee still. So, you know, I think this will be an interesting litmus test, and I think we'll maybe get a little bit inside. And we still also, I think this is a little underrated factor. This is Hokut's first rodeo as the head of the playoff committee, with Jeff Long from Arkansas stepping aside after a 2-year run in which you mentioned he had maybe one tough decision in 2 seasons. Does that change? Does the playoff committee head influence sort of the methodology? And, you know, I think we tried 2 years ago at SB Nation to sort of, I think, record all of Long's comments in the post playoff rankings reveal every Tuesday for the entire season to see if he actually revealed anything. And as, you know, live TV is prone to do, there wasn't a ton to gain from those 7 or 8 weeks of rankings and statements afterwards. It didn't really seem to mesh with the final rankings. So I think we threw that out the window last year. I think Hokut does a weekly ESPN radio segment or something like that. And I'd be curious if he's had any, you know, when everything's said and done, if there was any consistency from week to week. But I guess we'll find out in about a week from now, won't we?
Yeah, there will be some cries for transparency, I'm sure, from Washington or Colorado or Penn State or Wisconsin fans.
I think is going to be left out unless Wisconsin wins, and that makes it a little bit easier. They might even feel snubbed having that win over, you know, LSU and then Penn State, I guess. But if it's Penn State and Ohio State and Clemson and Washington, you're dead right. It's going to be there's going to be some angry fans just like there were 2 years ago.
Yeah, I always enjoy that. I always enjoy it. Just a little bit of chaos is good for us, I think. But once again, guys, he is Luke Zimmerman. You want to check out the website, landgrantholyland.com. That's where Luke is the editor. You can also check him out on Twitter, at Luke Zim. I really appreciate all of the educated guesswork we just threw down there, Luke. Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anytime.